You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 166. We're going to take a bit of a broad but deep sweep in today's episode. We're going to start looking at school students and dreams and think about you when you were a child and what you did or didn't understand about dreams and nightmares, and yet how much those dreams and nightmares may have upset you or intrigued you. So we're going to look at that. And then we're going to go into very briefly, but impart some important information about dreams of death, because it's dreams of death that, amongst other nightmares, tend to naturally upset school students and children and adults more than anything else. So we're going to take a brief look at that. And then finally, we're going to go into some more in-depth dream interpretation and dream analysis stuff, and finish with an exercise, an alchemy exercise that we can all do on any dream and that always comes up trumps with some wonderful personal insight. So lots of exciting things today. So let's just start. First off, the web address. We've now consolidated everything, finally, into one web address. So it's janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or find me on Facebook. You can go there, of course, to listen to all the episodes of The Dream Show, all 166 of them, and it will be very easy to find when you go to janetheresa.com. Either click podcast or click The Dream Show, and you're in 166 hours worth of listening. Anyway, today's show is slightly less than an hour. I think it's about half an hour, so let's go. First up is teaching school students how to understand their dreams. And this is from a blog that I wrote in March 2014. So if you like to follow up sometimes by when I do read out a blog on a podcast by going back and finding the original article, you'll easily find that on the new website, March 2014, teaching school students how to understand their dreams. What did you learn about dreams and nightmares when you were at school? Nothing, I'll bet. Can you remember some of the dreams that puzzled, worried, or frightened you as a young child and as a young adult? Did you talk about them? Was anyone able to help ease your mind and give you practical tips on how to look into your dreams for clues about how to better handle life's challenges? I wish I had known as a child and later as a young adult what I know now about dreams. I would have learned how to recognize and deal with the feeling pictured in my childhood recurring nightmare of packs of wolves blocking my path, ready to devour me. I would have learned how to address the situation reflected by my dreams of jumping into a swimming pool for fun, only for all the water to instantly drain away. I would have gained confidence from my dreams of being able to see exciting perspectives that other people couldn't see. And as a young adult, the insight I would have gained from my dream of being on an endless staircase that eternally doubled back on itself would have given me a way to create quicker, smarter outcomes than I was accustomed to experiencing. The way I felt about myself and my life, and the way I handled my life, would have been so much better, so much sooner. I received an email earlier this month from Judith, a keen follower of The Dream Show, saying, I woke up this morning and thought that there should be a class in high school or college where they teach the basic skills to understand one's own dreams, or at very least not to misunderstand them. And then I thought I should share it with you. I guess I'm at a point where I acknowledge that understanding my dreams makes a huge difference in my life, a vital difference, and I wish everybody had it too. It's something I've occasionally considered, given that we all dream every night and most of us remember many of our dreams, especially the frightening ones. I asked Judith if I could share her waking thought with you on this blog. I thought we might start painting a picture of how taking dreams into our school systems might look, and seek your thoughts and suggestions. Maybe we can take some steps forward to making it happen. So how would it look at kindergarten, junior school, high school, and college? I published some tips on the internet back in 2005 for parents of children suffering from nightmares. And while those ideas were designed for parents, some could be adapted and extended into a kindergarten class situation. Those tips are no longer on the internet, but you can now actually listen to the Dream Show episode 109, where I read some extracts from that on children's dreams. And there's also the ebook, Stop Bad Dreams and Nightmares Now, in which I've included those original tips on children's dreams and nightmares as a whole chapter. You can find those, of course, at janetreza.com in the ebook section. Let's take a general approach, given that you, readers of this blog, listeners to this show, live all over the world and experience many different education systems. Might our picture be of specialists contracted to come into schools and colleges to teach courses on dreams? Or might we picture specialists developing courses and programs for teachers to use in the classroom? May we be bold enough to envision dreams being incorporated into standard curricula from kindergarten through to the end of high school? Or might we picture offering specialist training in dreams to school counsellors and guidance staff, either to assist them in their work with individual students or to give them the tools to work with small groups? Or might we picture developing books, videos, games, apps that individual teachers might choose to introduce into creative studies, personal development, reading, drama, social studies, relationship courses, or student research projects? I can see in my mind's eye writing a book about dreams for children and young adults. I can see an outline of the content. I can imagine the stories I might write, the games and puzzles designed to teach, the practical tips to follow, the gentle imparting of how to grow and flow with the big lessons of life, coping with change, building resilience, facing fears and difficult emotions, realizing potential, making decisions, developing kindness and compassion, and so much more. It would be a lot of fun to create, but maybe some of the other ideas I've suggested are better and would travel further in the long run. Long before I began researching dreams, I worked for 2 years as a high school science and biology teacher and spent a term as acting head of biology. It was a very long time ago, and I understand from friends and clients who are teachers today that the paperwork side of things is more complex and time-consuming than ever before, and that the work needed to introduce new courses, let alone new subjects, is somewhat Herculean. But how might we nevertheless begin? In her email, Judith mentioned helping students, quote, at very least not to misunderstand their dreams, unquote. And I think this is a key point. As a dream analyst, I see the heartbreak and high anxiety that can result from misunderstanding one's dreams, particularly from taking them literally. I have talked with people who believed that they had dreamed the dates of their deaths and lived their lives with compromise, taking this into account. When I show them how to relate the dream to their life, they recognize the symbolism, and in due time, the anticipated death date passes, proving that these dreams are not to be taken literally. I have talked with people who have wasted years searching for a soulmate with the precise physical characteristics they have seen in their dreams, and missed recognizing the person who would have been such a great match. These dreams are symbolic, and once understood, can be extremely helpful in identifying and encouraging a dreamer's potential. I have talked with people who have believed their dreams of their partners cheating on them and taken action or withdrawn emotionally. and I have talked with people who have been so shocked by their sexual or violent actions in their dreams that they have mistakenly believed they must be wired for and capable of such acts in waking life. Dreams of cheating, sex, and violence are normal and common, and not what they seem. Once understood, they can be extremely beneficial in helping the dreamer to develop healthy skills for successfully navigating life's challenges. I have seen so many people suffer so much pain from taking their dreams literally. Let's help make a change. Let's begin with education early in life. What do you suggest? And that's the end of that article. So I hope that gives you lots of food for thought. And hopefully beyond food for thought, food for action. So I thought because of all of that, I'd do this very little one on dreams of death for reasons that I mentioned before, and because they are extremely distressing and so many people can take dreams of death literally. However, this little one here is a kind of light-hearted approach that nevertheless is helpful. I wrote this one in September 2014. And it's called To Dream of Death Means. My mum says that when you dream of death, it means there's going to be a birth in the family, said Georgie, although she was clearly disturbed about her own dream of a gravestone freshly engraved with an illegible name. I was interpreting dreams on Mix 106.3 FM, Canberra's breakfast show, earlier this week. And Georgie had called to ask about her dream, where she walked through a rose archway and stood beside her uncle, looking at the gravestone, trying to read the name. If we'd had time to deeply explore, we would have been able to work out why Georgie's dreamy mind pictured a rose archway, not another flower, or not merely a stone archway or a gate, and why she was accompanied by her uncle. We would have been able to explore the other details of her dream, what happened before she walked through the archway, what dramas were involved, and how she was feeling. These things are all important. You can't take a dream dictionary approach to understanding dreams because our dream symbols are personal, plucked from our past experiences and blended with our recent experiences to help paint an up-to-the-minute picture of how we see the world. My approach to training dream analysts is to help them apply what I call the dynamic methods, analysing the flow of the dream, the dramas, the feelings, the patterns and perspectives, and more before considering symbols. Much of the meaningful insight into a dream and into the dreamer's mindset and approach to waking life is achieved in this way, before delving into the symbols. Then and only then do we enjoy applying methods to unmask personal symbols and, as one of my recent students put it, nail it. Georgie, of course, was concerned that her dream was a premonition, either of death, her uncle, herself, if she took the dream literally, or of a birth in the family if her mum's cultural understanding, passed through many generations, was correct. On very rare occasions, our dreams may be premonitions, and some people regularly experience dreaming about people they know who have either just died, unbeknown to the dreamer, or are about to die. But these are rare and special cases. Look back over the dreams you remember. You've probably had several dreams about death, all of which were symbolic. Death is a very common dream theme and often reflects a feeling that something, not someone, is coming to an end or losing energy and vitality. Change is the nature of life, and to grow and flow often requires us to let go of what no longer serves us. Dreams may picture our struggles with this in themes of holding on, letting go, falling, flying, death, birth, conflict, and so on. Think dynamics rather than symbols. Many traditional cultures believe that dreams of death predict a birth in the family. Historically, these cultures tended to have big nuclear families, big extended families, and plenty of pretend uncles and aunties and cousins from the wider community. With death dreams being common, it's no surprise that a fair number of death dreams may have coincided with family births, especially if you allow a few months between the dream and the birth announcement. On the other hand, maybe these cultures understood that dreaming of endings paved the way for new beginnings, but their metaphors got taken literally along the way. Many traditional cultures believe that dreams of losing teeth predict a death in the family. Dreams of losing teeth and dreams of death are two of the most common dream themes worldwide. Sooner or later, at least some of those dreams are going to coincide with news of death or birth in the family. Georgie's mum has probably frequently mentioned her belief that dreams of death predict a birth in the family, so if Georgie had a bit of an inkling that someone was pregnant or about to give birth, her dreamy mind might bring up the death dream as a personal symbol of her feelings about the impending birth. I bet you want to know what I said to Georgie on the radio show, don't you? I reminded Georgie that our dreams reflect the last 1 to 2 days and said that I felt her dream reflected a recent change where she has come through, like walking through the arch, a situation with hope and vitality, like the roses, and is ready to put something from the past to rest, like the gravestone. How does that sound? I asked. Along with the relief came the confirmation, Georgie's recognition of how the dream relates to her life. That's one of the things I love about doing radio work. The moment people can relate the interpretation to what has been going on during the last couple of days, their fear of a scary dream being literal evaporates, and they have something meaningful and helpful to take into their daily life. And the message filters through to the listeners as well. Once we lose the fear of our dreams and dedicate time to exploring them more deeply, they have so much to teach us about ourselves and the ways in which we walk through this world. Which is exactly why I thought I'd finish with this last article that gives you some of those tips for deeper exploration and an alchemy practice to do. And this one I wrote last month in May 2015, and it's called Silent Voices. You'll live to regret it if you don't try. It's too risky. Change is good. You'll lose everything you've worked for. It's everything you've ever worked for. Better be safe than sorry. You'll get hurt again. You'll be happy. Opportunities like this come once in a lifetime. It looks too good to be true. You'll blossom. You'll fail. Listen to your heart. Think it through. Faced with a big decision, we hear our many familiar voices. Perhaps the voice of reason, the voice of dissent, the voice of hope, the voice of fear, and a chorus of others, sometimes in accord, more often in conflict. These are the voices of our beautiful, multifaceted being, the voices of our experiences, our beliefs, the voices of society, our parents and teachers, the voices that have influenced us, and the voices we have evolved, developed, and made our own. These are the voices we know about, the voices we take into account as we make our decisions, all the while overlooking the far more powerful voices silently whispering deeply in our unconscious mind. It's our unconscious voices, the ones we don't know about, the ones we don't consciously hear, that frequently drive the way we live our lives, the way we make our decisions, the decisions we make. You've been there, I'm sure. You've thought something through, weighed all the pros and cons, made your final decision, then either failed to act on it or taken the other option, the path you had rejected. What happened there? Your unconscious mind took charge. Now that would be fine if your unconscious mind was wise, and sometimes it is. There are wonderful times when your intuition nudges you to take a leap of faith that seems quite contrary to your carefully thought out plan, and it works brilliantly. There are wonderful times when you act as if you were guided by a divine power, choosing quite a different path from the one you had just decided upon, a path that turns out to be positively life-changing. But there are many times when your unconscious mind is not so wise, when fear and limiting beliefs take the driver's seat and swerve you from your best laid plans and intentions. Like your conscious voices, your unconscious voices are the voices of your experiences, beliefs, the voices of society, your parents and teachers, the voices that have influenced you. But unlike your conscious voices, you have lost touch with these. Some may be the shadow side of your being, the aspects of yourself you repress. And some may be the voices too distressed or too hurt to bear, voices you have blocked from conscious memory. Repressed voices may include those with positive qualities, like self-esteem, intelligence, and courage, that you have shut away because they feel too confronting. Still other unconscious voices may be expressions of your spiritual being, your bigger, wiser self, awaiting reconnection. Since these unconscious voices can drive you so powerfully, it makes sense to get to know and understand them, to negotiate with them, to heal their pain, to discover their treasure. So how can you do this? You meet your unconscious voices in your dreams. They are the voices of your dream characters. And they are the voices of the other elements in your dream. The landscape. What might a desert say to you if you listen carefully? The weather. What does thunder express? The buildings. If this dream house could speak, what would it say? The animals, indeed all the symbols. One of the most insightful and healing dream alchemy practices you can do is to imagine getting the key dream people and symbols from a single recent dream around a table to talk with each other. The best way to do this is to use your keyboard or a piece of paper and pen and list the characters and symbols down the left-hand side, like a movie script, and then, without too much thought, to write their conversation. You may feel you're imagining the talk, making it up, being playful with it, and you are, but that very imagining is revealing the unconscious voices within you that they represent. Some voices just need to be heard and acknowledged. You may discover a voice with a grudge, a hurt, a grief. And once you have acknowledged this, it dissipates. It is let go. It has lost its unconscious power over you. Some voices may need more soothing, more healing. And you'll find that your imaginary talk may evolve into group therapy, with all your dream characters and symbols finding new perspective, overcoming conflict, finding peaceful resolution. As your unconscious voices talk it out on paper, you'll feel the shift as inner conflict begins to resolve. You may feel emotional release. You may cry. You may laugh. You may suddenly feel light. You will notice spontaneous clarity and a growing sense of peace. So next time you're curious about why things don't seem to turn out quite right for you, or why you find it difficult to make decisions, or why you seem to sabotage your best intentions. Line up your dream characters for a group therapy session and listen to what they have to say. I didn't realize that there was so much information that I was going to give you in today's dream show. So if that was all a bit overwhelming, guess what? You can press play again and again and again and again. Or you can press play tomorrow or next month. Or you can visit the website at janetheresa.com and you can actually read the versions of those. So that last one, remember, was a blog on the 24th of June. And the other bits of paper I have let go now, but they were in 2014, I think September and March. You can also share, of course. It's obvious, but I'd like to remind you that if you get something from this, other people probably will too. We all dream, we're all curious. And of course, while I do talk and write about dreams and help people with dream analysis, the deeper agenda is helping people with life. So there are plenty of messages and things to take home and be inspired to understand about our deeper selves, whether or not people remember their dreams. So share, share, and do share, please. And go to the website and listen to more episodes of The Dream Show. We've been building this resource for a long time now, is it 5 years? Is it 6 years? I've lost count. And we intend, 5 years, Michael says, and we intend to keep on going for many years to come, building this as a free resource so that anyone, anywhere in the world, as long as they can get on the internet and understand the English language, and understand my accent, can get something and learn something about their dreams and themselves. So do share. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. As you know, many of our shows are like this. And many of our shows also feature a guest. If you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show and bring a dream for me to interpret so that we record that process for all of our listeners to hear, then again, go to janetheresa.com and it's easy to find out. Not through the contact page, you'll find there's a drop-down box under podcasts on how to be a guest on The Dream Show. Our next episode, episode 167, if you're listening in real time, will be released on the 24th of June, 2015. Have a lovely month, and I'll speak to those of you who I speak to regularly I've just been corrected, it's the 24th of July. Next episode 167 goes out on the 24th of July. As I said, real time, my time is somewhere off the planet at the moment, I think. For those of you that are in touch with real time, we have actually just in the last 3 weeks moved house, moved office, as you know, also moved website, also moved from using PCs to Apple Macs. So my brain has lost the plot a bit with where the actual dates are. And it's also why we haven't featured a guest on The Dream Show for two or three shows, because it's been a bit easier with the IT behind the scenes to record a couple of these while we set up the new studio to bring on guests. So anyway, we're ready for all of that now, and I am reliably informed that the next episode, 167, is due out on the 24th of July, that I am now standing here in June speaking with you. Have a lovely month, and those of you that I do speak with on a regular basis, either about your dreams, dream therapy, exploring your dreams, or training, I'll see you on Skype between now and then. Have a lovely month. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Theresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.